Welcome to another edition of Valley Voices. I'm your host, Amy Haddon Marsh. The 14th annual R-Day Summit started on Monday, June 19th, and will continue through the weekend. And my guest today is the founder, CEO, and director of the American Renewable Energy Institute, which is responsible for R-Day. Chip Cummins, founder, chairman, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Amy.
You were an associate producer of the film Racing Extinction. How did you get involved with the film?
Well, that's an interesting question because the reality is that Luis Hoyos, who is the Oscar award-winning director of The Cove, came and presented at R-Day in 2010 and came back in 2011 and asked me if he could film some interviews with some of the R-Day guests that year. Mm-hmm. And he was able to connect with Dr. Kirk Johnson, who was the paleontologist in the film that tells us about deep time and takes us through all the extinction events up until today. There's been five of them in 500 million years. And I actually was sort of involved in the film peripherally since then. And then around 2014, I came on board as an associate producer and began to help bring in some completion funding to the film, which at that point was 90% shot. So it was really an amazing journey for me because I went on the road with the film for about a year, and I was at Sundance when it premiered, and then we sold it to Discovery, and then later on we lit up the Empire State Building and subsequently the Vatican with the projections that ended up in the film. It was quite an interesting experience and met a lot of folks along the way. Elon Musk was involved heavily with the Tesla vehicle, At any rate, Racing Extinction is a very, very important movie. In fact, we're going to show it again, even though it's 3 years old, because it really points to the fact that we are in the sixth great extinction and that we're acidifying the oceans to the rate that now it's becoming questionable about how the phytoplankton that produces more than half of the oxygen that we breathe is going to be able to continue to do its job, converting the sunlight, sequestering the carbon, and putting out the oxygen that supports biological life. So we're hitting some pretty critical tipping points on the planet.
Do you think films like Racing Extinction and the conferences such as R-Day are making a difference?
I do. I think that we're now at a point where we're raising the awareness and the consciousness of the situation as the human race, hits critical population tipping points. Simultaneously, we're hitting those kinds of boundary issues in all of the planet's systems, whether it's the forests or the soils or the ocean, the atmosphere, et cetera. This year, we're also showing a really amazing film called Chasing Coral. Do not miss that. It's showing for free on Saturday at noon at the Town Hall in Snowmass Village. This was the Audience Award winner this year at Sundance.
Okay.
And this one is about the corals and what's happening, as we've all heard about the great coral die-offs that are occurring around
the planet.
Great
Barrier Reef.
The bleaching events and so forth. It's just a very, very important film that really just points to what is happening without taking a political stance one way or the other. And so this slate of films, like Racing Extinction, Chasing Coral, also we're showing Before the Flood, which is DiCaprio's offering last year, point to the situation that we find ourselves in.
How would you describe that situation?
Well, it's mission critical, and it's all hands on deck.
Okay.
And we have a rapidly deteriorating Arctic and Antarctic. We have a rapidly acidifying ocean globally. We have the great coral reefs of the planet dying, and we have many species flaming out. And so these are the indicators that are telling us that if we don't change our direction, we're going to wind up where we're headed. And so at a time when we need to stop pegging the world's economy to the extraction of and burning of fossils and rapidly implement the renewable, sustainable, and energy efficient technologies that we know can, in fact, give us as Amory Levin says, cold beer and hot showers without burning, you know, the 500 million year old dead stuff for our, you know, fast energy and cheap money, that we can have a sustainable planet. And so that's really, you know, in a nutshell, what our day and the mission of AREI is all about.
Our day, A-R-E day, you've been going for 14 years. This is the 14th annual all of a sudden. I remember when you guys got started. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think it's time to take a brief look back. How has our day evolved over the past 14 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Amy, what started as an initial reaction to the science back in 2004, when we showed a film that I made called Wind Powering Native America, and it illustrated how just on tribal lands in the northern Great Plains, we had enough wind energy to literally power half of the United States for its energy needs. You know, and this comes out of government statistics over at the National Wind Technology Center. And the city council in Aspen said, well, we'd like to see that, so why don't you come and join us in official session and we'll take a look. And so we screened the film. It was an extraordinary event with Mayor Helen Klanderud and the council at that time. And we showed the film and we made our case. And afterwards, I was talking to the mayor on the street. And I said, you know, Aspen really should have a renewable energy day. And she said, you know, you're right. And you should do it, and you need to do it before the end of the summer. And it was like, I think it was, you know, the end of June. I'm like, mm-hmm. You're kidding, right? And so so we had our auspicious beginning, and it was a beautiful bluebird day, I'll never forget. And we went down underneath the clock tower, and we put up a wonderful band named Sweet Sunny South, perfect mm-hmm. renewable energy, bluegrass, old-timey music. Mm-hmm. And we had booths and a large tent, and Solar Energy International was our main, you know, presenter. And then we had some folks come up on the stage in between listening to music and talk, like Randy Udall was there, and one of the representatives from Holy Cross Energy was there, and Mayor Klanderud came and spoke. And so, you know, it began as a very humble initiative to just put out to the town, to the world, in downtown Aspen next mm-hmm. to Wagner Park, the wisdom of renewable, sustainable, and energy-efficient technology. Because what's happening now, we knew what was happening then 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, remember, that was 2 years after, you know, shock and awe. Mm-hmm. And we were at war in Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, we had come off of 8 years of relatively peaceful America under mm-hmm. the Clinton administration. And now we were looking at, you know, some... Many people thought at that time that this was a war for oil. Mm-hmm. And so we just took the point of view that we need to move very quickly now and transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy for all the obvious reasons.
Right. So our day has gone from a day to a week. You know, I'm wondering, are you fighting off speakers? I mean, you know, I'm sure for the first year you guys invited people because it was just starting up. And I'm wondering if people are calling you to be involved instead of you calling them.
Well, the rest of the story is that my partner, Sally Ranney, came along in 2006 and was instrumental in facilitating our first nationally known speaker, Gary Hart, who came and spoke that year. And subsequently in 2008, Ted Turner, you know, she was able to facilitate Ted joining us. And once Ted came and then began to return, that's when we really started to take off.
Okay.
Because Ted Turner is really, you know, there's billionaires and then there's billionaires. Mm-hmm. And this guy has done more to shine a light on the possible, in my view, you know, through his five foundations and his philanthropic work than pretty much anybody. And so that's when we hit our pinnacle, but we had our first really high mark was in 2010 when we had what we refer to as our big boy panel. And that's when we had Ted Turner and T. Boone Pickens mm-hmm. and James Cameron, who had Avatar down the street in the movie theater uh-huh. at that time, as well as Michael Polsky and Sam Wiley on one panel. Mm-hmm. And then we started to really be able to gather some of the thought leaders, some of the influencers, some of the powerful people on the planet who are really moving the ball in that direction. You know, and even T-Boone was, you know, just coming off of trying to become the biggest wind developer in the world. And, well, he missed, his timing was a little off, and so the price of gas went from 14 to 2, and he lost his financing for this enormous 4,000-megawatt wind project, which was a shame, you know. But
4,000-megawatt?
In Texas, yeah. Wow. That's a big project.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. So he was being very ambitious. And the point of that is that even T-Boone, who's to the right, you know, saw the opportunity economically in the wisdom of the wind in Texas. And that's really an important point because renewables, you know, like I like to say, Amy, that they're unstoppable. You know, in other words, the sun always rises and the wind will always blow. So this energy that we can harness from the sun and the wind and other renewable sources, geothermal as an example, is a unlimited resource that doesn't put any gases into the atmosphere.
Right.
And the cost curves come down each year. And that's really an important reason why Arde continues to go forward because we feel that we've picked the right subject.
Well, this year's theme is Protecting America's Greatness, the Business of Innovation, Climate Leadership, and Resilient Communities. Chip Cummins, what did you have in mind when you came up with this theme?
Well, you know, there's a slogan that's been passed around the last couple of years, you know, make America great again. And I was thinking, you know what? We're already great. So we first thought, well, let's call it, you know, making America greater. But that didn't quite. And then we finally, my friend John Power suggested, let's call it Protecting America's Greatness.
Okay.
And I thought, bingo, that's exactly what we have to do. We are already great. We're already there. We're the greatest country on earth. We're the melting pot of the best of the best. And so, you know, with our university systems and our economic systems and our environmental systems, you know, and the compassion of Americans and, you know, the rest of the world has always seen America as, you know, always doing the right thing after we exhaust all the other options.
I don't know if I agree with what you're saying.
Well, I'm quoting Winston Churchill.
Yeah, I just, I feel like with Arde and conferences like Arde, I think America's so-called greatness is kind of coming back.
I'm not saying that we're without fault. In fact, we really have a lot of very, very serious issues with being 4% of the world's population, with fully 25% of the world's economic output, and yet we consume 30% of the world's natural resources. So how do we take our de facto leadership and move it in the right direction?
Exactly. We need to be leaders in renewable energy.
Well, I think we need to be leaders in not only renewable energy, but we need to be leaders in ethics. We need to be leaders in morals. We need to be leaders in the ability to have the world that we want for our children as our parents gave to us, those of us who were born in the 50s. You know, we weren't struggling with climate change back then. Well, we didn't know that we were. I mean, there was some filthy cities because we didn't have pollution controls. But the reality is that, you know, there was half the world's population that there is now back then. And so there wasn't that kind of pressure on the biosphere.
Exactly.
So we had four seasons that happened in a normal, quote unquote, manner. Sure, we had the odd hurricane or the, you know, extreme weather event, but they were really spaced out and far in between. But
they weren't normal.
Right. Now it's the new normal is that we have the floods and the droughts and the extreme events and the thousand-year, you know, events are happening, you know, every other month. And it's just, you know, let me just say here, Amy, that the healing capacity of Mother Earth is far beyond anybody's imagination.
Right.
If we will just give old Mom Earth a break and take our foot off of the accelerator, to quote, you know, my friend Randy Udall, who used to say that, you know, we're redlining the system and the pedal is to the metal. And it's just, you know, and eventually, if we don't let up, something's going to give. And so we're
already giving.
It seems to
be. Water is giving. Forests are giving. Coral reefs are giving. Yeah. The ocean is giving.
Right. Yeah. And we're seeing that. And even though, you know, we live in the beautiful Roaring Fork Valley and it doesn't seem to be that bad. You know, remember, we're only 60,000 people between Aspen and Glenwood, and 200,000 maybe between Aspen and Grand Junction. You know, so the Western Slope is very sparsely populated relative to the 4 million Coloradans.
You're listening to Valley Voices. My guest today is Chip Cummins, founder, director, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute in Aspen. There are already so many things that are happening to the environment around us here in the Roaring Fork Valley and the Colorado River Valley in terms of invasive species, water and water use, the diminishing amount of water. I mentioned invasive species. I keep seeing invasive weeds all over the place in the Roaring Fork Valley, and especially driving down to Rifle and to Grand Junction along the roadsides. It's amazing, and the landscape I've noticed has really changed in the past 30 years, I think, up here. But anyway.
Well, you know, I want to just point out that we have something, a theme called the Water Energy Nexus.
Right.
Accelerating into the future. And so we have some water experts coming, talking to us about that very issue.
Well, you have a lot of speakers. I mean, I was looking at the very long list of speakers, all sorts of what appear to be cutting edge, renewable energizers, designers, filmmakers, activists, and overall futuristic and environmentally concerned individuals. And then I stumble upon Travis Holland, the accounting advisor for Anadarko Petroleum. And as you know, Anadarko recently suffered some major blows, so to speak, on the Front Range. Why Anadarko at our day?
Not only Anadarko, but we have BP is in the house. And that's a very key point. So one of the reasons that we are, in my view, still here is because we offer a platform, not just for one side or the other. Mm-hmm. We see that AREI and that ARDE is a summit, it's a platform where we can be inclusive. It's very important that we have at the table everybody that is involved in the energy business so that we can have an intelligent discussion and a dialogue. Yeah. You know, we at AREI, we're not against, we're for an intelligent future. And therefore, we have to be able to open up the dialogue, the flow of information, so that we can discuss best practices. You know, Amy, I came here today, I drive a Chevy Volt. But I'm cognizant of the fact that I use fossil fuels in that vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I'm also aware of the fact that I live in a home that has a natural gas input.
Right.
And electricity that comes from Holy Cross, which is doing great. They're 30% renewable, but that means they're 70% fossil. Mm-hmm. So until I am 100% renewable and net positive, I feel like I have to deal with that part of myself that consumes fossil fuels. And even though I'm trying my best to reduce my carbon footprint to zero, you know, right now we all are consumers of the oil and the coal and the gas. And we have to come to terms with that in real ways. And so by bringing in Anadarko to have a conversation without attacking, but rather, you know, saying, you know, we've noticed that you guys have had some problems and maybe there's a way that we can look at this through another lens that's going to be helpful in avoiding these kinds of things in the future. And I think that that's one of the really powerful ways that the ARDE Summit and all of our programs, because now we're up to six different moving parts in our ARDE week, or
our week.
I call it our days, as in D-A-Z-E.
Our days. Good. Well, it's no secret, Chip Cummins, that the current administration is not invested in doing things or creating legislation to protect the climate. What do you think will be the result of 4 years of this on our climate and environment?
Not good. At a critical moment when we need to be going full force, you know, with a solar panel on every roof, and energy efficiency in every city and town in the country, we have an administration that is leading us down the wrong path, where they want to drill for fossil fuels in our national monuments and our national parks and our national forests. And at a time when we know, you know, and the whole world has come together in this one big agreement that says, guess what, everybody? Fossil fuel burning is a big problem, and we have got to change our direction.
Right. The Paris Climate Agreement.
Of course. And we're now, you know, withdrawing from that agreement, the Paris Agreement, and we're sort of running as a rogue nation on our fossil fuel, or just wanting to continue to peg our economy to the extraction and burning of fossil fuels. And so now what's happening is that without leadership from the federal government, it's falling to the private sector, the states, the cities, the towns, and the communities to lead mm-hmm. and to do it themselves. So I'm very encouraged when I see Governor Jerry Brown go to Beijing and sign an agreement with the president of China on clean technology, and that actually translates to local leadership, which really brings up another one of our key themes in our day, which is resilient communities, because at the local level, we have to deal with the impacts of what's happening with the climate now and what's going to happen in the future, because science really doesn't care whether you believe in it or not.
You know,
physics is not an option.
Exactly.
You know, it is what it is, mm-hmm. and it's de facto, and it's happening. And so we can begin to organize ourselves locally. So in light of that, one of the really interesting new programs we're doing at our day is something called Community Conversations.
Oh, talk about that.
Yeah. And so after the summit ends on the 22nd, we're convening community leaders on that big stage on Fannie Hill in Snowmass Village, and mm-hmm. we're turning it into an open-air classroom.
Oh, neat.
And we're putting stadium seats on the stage itself, and we're going to have speakers that are signed up to talk about these local solutions. And so it's a new program that we're going to develop in years ahead that is a real engagement piece. We feel very strongly that we have to begin to talk to each other in our valley mm-hmm. and in our state and bring us together in ways that we come up with the strategies and the alliances and the cooperative agreements that will allow us to work together as communities to implement these low-carbon solutions.
When will these community conversations occur at Artis?
They'll be starting at 10 a.m. on Friday the 23rd and on Saturday the 24th. And it'll start with a two-hour yoga session that will go from 10 to noon. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have speakers from 12 to 5 each day.
Who are some of the speakers that are lined up for that?
Well, we have different folks from different sectors. One of the people that's coming up that's really interesting from Boulder is Leslie Glustrom, who's been very active in trying to create a municipal utility mm-hmm. Down in the city of Boulder
right.
and having a lot of resistance from Xcel Energy on that one. So she's going to talk to us about, you know, that, and also looking at, you know, Aspen's municipal utility and also Glenwood as examples of when communities do take literally the power back into their own hands. Mm-hmm. And I know that Tom Cardamone will be speaking on behalf of his work at the Discovery Center and, you know, the Snowmass Discovery, mm-hmm. which is all about
yes.
that incredible paleontological mm-hmm. find up there that we are
so
fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Snowmastodon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so amazing that we have one of the most mm-hmm. significant stories of climate change.
That was a mind blower.
Right?
That whole
from 200,000 down to 20,000 years mm-hmm. ago. And so we like to look at that and then connect it to anthropocentric climate change that's happening now mm-hmm. and then compare and contrast that, because normal or relatively normal climate change in the last 500 million years is now being forced by the burning of these gases. I want to say also that people don't know generally that the Earth in its half a billion year history, and most of the science tells us that life was organized about 750 million years ago. And then there was this great event where it just proliferated all over the place. Mm-hmm. It hit this tipping point, and mm-hmm. it just began to evolve very quickly. But that from 500 million years ago till today, 85% of the time, the Earth has been in a condition called greenhouse Earth, where there is no ice on the planet at all. None. It's a different world.
85%.
85%. That's the norm. And in fact, carbon concentrations in the atmosphere were up an average of 2,000 parts per million, four times what they are today. But that's what gave us the gigantism of the dinosaurs.
Exactly. This was pre-human.
We are living in a very rare moment in the paleontological or the geological mm-hmm. history of the planet. And that, you know, the climate's always changing.
Exactly. It's just that our use of fossil fuels and our lifestyles are accelerating this change that is, it looks like we're headed for, humans are headed for extinction.
Well, that's true. And ultimately, probably the case anyway, but why do we have to accelerate it? You know, if we're going to go back to the greenhouse Earth that this planet actually is, it might be nice to have a few more generations of humans. We really are in a very unusual time that gives us, you know, all of the incredible species on the planet and the biodiversity. It's just absolutely stunning, you know? So we should honor and preserve that and sustain it.
Chip Cummins, founder, chairman, and CEO of the American Renewable Energy Institute and founder of Our Days. I'm calling it Our Days now. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amy.